Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, we are on day two of Tara Reid Bagwatch. It still has not been recovered. Maybe it has been recovered, but she hasn't tweeted about it. I'm very concerned. How's it going?
Her bag?
Yeah, remember her bag got lost on a United flight.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's still, man.
I mean, I don't know if it's been recovered. She hasn't tweeted about it.
What if somebody's walking around with Tara Reid's clothes, wearing them?
I feel like Paul Rudd in Anchorman with Panda Watch.
It's now day two, and there's still no bag.
Luggage watch. You cannot go into the baggage carousel. It will literally rip your hand off.
She's probably got a pretty nice bag, right? You think?
Oh, it's got to be like a Louis something, right?
It's got to be pink, though.
Sure.
Right? I mean, it's Tara Reid. Like, it's got to be pink.
Yeah. There is a picture. I was surprised. I was going back in her timeline looking for something to talk about. And there is a picture of her eating a gigantic slice of pizza. I wouldn't say she looked sober. It also could just be, I don't know, a long night, makeup's a little runny, bad focus on the camera. But it's a pretty phenomenal picture.
You can't trust Instagram, man.
No.
It adds 4 gallons of liquor to everyone.
It does. It occasionally makes me look like I have an interesting life, which is not true at all.
You know who has an interesting life?
James Dolan.
James Dolan has an interesting life.
Sweet baby James Dolan, as they call him. This guy is just ridiculous.
You got a story up today at CBSSports.com talking about how apparently he's flipping out at the dancers and basically on a warpath after the Wolves game, I assume it was?
Yeah, it was apparently, according to Frank Isola from the New York Daily News, that's what it is, right? The Wolves scored 40 points on the Knicks in the first quarter on Sunday, and apparently he left his seat to go rip general manager Steve Mills a new one. And it's like, you're not, at that point, you're 1-1. You're not even 1-2 yet. At that point, you're 1-1, and you've still got 3/4 of a game to play, and you're freaking out about the season. Like, what did you think Andrea Bargnani was going to bring you?
And therein lies all of Knicksdom.
He's really just. I will say this. So outside of that, then he apparently told the dancers, or informed the team that the dancers shouldn't dance. So they're just passing out, T-shirts. I don't understand. Like, what does that do? Is this like a Red Auerbach, we're not going to have cheerleaders kind of thing?
I mean, personally, I wouldn't mind it. Like, I like that the cheerleaders like are fun, and like do stuff in the community. I could do a lot without the whole blatant objectification of women that leads into a lot of the problems that we have with men in our society thing. They're not directly related. It just doesn't help. So I don't really care about that as much. But it just seems weird that you're like, rawr, I'm angry that the team is sucking, so I'm going to go yell about how these dancers shouldn't be dancing.
I will say the upside to this story was I watched about 20 minutes of JD and the Straight Shot videos on YouTube. And my favorite one is the one I linked to in it. Is him, it's like a almost an 8-minute video, and it's him, like, it's intercut with clips of him playing with his band, JD and the Straight Shot, but then him, like, talking about his music, and it's like, I think there's one point where, I'm paraphrasing, but he says something like, you know, you want people to listen to music just for the music and not work, you know, not relate it to what you do. I'm thinking, I bet you don't want to relate that to what you do.
I bet you don't. My favorite is Fix the Knicks. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
That's a classic. That's an all-time ditty.
I feel like I was tweeting about this morning. I just got to get it off my chest. I feel like morning time is a time to empty your thoughts. I like to empty this head from all the stupidness that's in there. I'm the James Dolan of peeling an orange. I'm so bad at it.
What's your problem?
It just never comes out right. And here's the thing. Like, people are nice enough. They're trying to give me tips on Twitter. I've tried every method. I roll it. I've cut it into cross-sections.
Let's go back. When you say it never comes out right, there's a number of ways that this could happen. Do you stab yourself?
No. I once stabbed myself trying to open a syrup bottle, but not – that was years ago.
I imagine you desperate, and that's what caused it. You just, like, had to get to the syrup.
No, it had like this plastic wrap on it that wasn't like perforated for some reason, and so like I stupidly was holding the bottle with my hand, and I brought this knife out to like puncture through the plastic, but I did it downwards and then stabbed right into the webbing between my index finger and my thumb, and I did it so hard that I actually like the knife was just stuck in there. And I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't good. The weird thing is it didn't really hurt. Like, it was uncomfortable, but it didn't really hurt, and it didn't bleed all that much, and now I've got, like, this little tiny bubble in the webbing of my... That's basketball-related, but I feel like when I try to peel an orange, it just, like, the orange gets mangled. There are no slices.
You're not able to maintain a healthy amount of pulp, not too much, not too much.
No, I might as well be making a smoothie.
It's just juice everywhere.
Yeah, there's juice everywhere. It's just like it's just ripped apart like it's a scene from the movie Saw. Like it's just really awful. I'm not good at it. I wish I was good at it. My dad's great at it. I think it skips a generation.
See, isn't it annoying when your dad's able to do stuff and you figure that when you get older you're going to be able to do it? Because I'm not bad at it, but my dad's able to do it in one. He's able to do the long...
Yeah, that's what my dad does.
Just one whole thing and then it's gone. And I'm like, how in the hell do you do this? I asked about it. He's always like, you'll know someday.
Which is a lie.
What is this, CCR? What is wrong with you? Like, this is not like a gene kicks in when I'm... Maybe it does. Maybe a gene kicks in when I hit 40.
Yeah, actually, I should call my dad and ask him whether he was able to peel an orange before 31.
He's going to be like, well, not drinking all the time is going to help. But...
I mean, yeah, so what made me think of that was the orange uniforms of the Knicks.
Do you like those?
I'm not a fan. I just like their regular uniforms, like the blue. Yeah, that's a great color set. It's a great like the way they balance it out on the uniform. I just like it. Those are good. The orange, I don't like the color orange. I'm not Trey Kirby. Trey Kirby loves the color orange. Like that's his favorite color, I think. And I'm not a big fan of orange. It's why fake tans bug me so much.
I like burnt orange. For me, from when I was in Austin, I got a real love for burnt orange just because it looks really pretty within certain contexts. But my wedding actually had like a dark shade of orange. But my wife, because she's from Nebraska, refused to call it burnt orange. They're really like, oh, so it's burnt orange. No.
How pissed off do you think listeners are right now?
The Knicks uniforms seem like they make them – okay, so Melo's not – here's the thing. Melo is not at all – he's in really good shape, but his body type makes him seem round when you put him in those uniforms, and he looks like a pumpkin. Like he looks – it's like in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with the blueberry girl, only it's orange.
It's too bad they didn't bring back Jerome James.
Oh.
He would really fill it out.
And then Raymond Felton and Pablo Vergione could roll him out.
Yes.
Oompa loompa doobity-doo. What kind of contract is better for you? So in a lot of ways, the question, I guess, is, here's the thing. Everybody rags on Dolan for making the wrong decision.
Because he's crazy.
Is there something to be said for him being upset that the person that he brought on...
Followed his instructions.
They got Bargnani though, right?
Right. They brought him on after. Like this is the crazy thing. And there are some owners that meddle and it's okay. There are some that do it and it's not okay. There is something to be said for hiring a guy and then just letting him do his damn job. Like you're gonna have final say in it anyway. You might as well let him cook.
I want to let him gun. You're the gunner GM.
Billy King is a gunner GM.
Thank God for James Dolan, because we have all of these. Like I'm really getting sad because we have all of these front offices and ownership groups that are. It's becoming more and more like they're very rational and fair
it's too competent.
like Alexander in Houston didn't fire Daryl Morey, was just like, no, you're good at your job. I'm not going to fire you. You're good at what you do. Right. Why would I fire you?
Right. There were circumstances you couldn't control with injuries. I get that. Like, keep going. Keep plugging away.
Right. And I love that there's those guys out there, but you have to have the balance. So having New York with psycho crazy pants quoting Lenin, Mikhail Prokhorov, that was a fun one, by the way. Our five-year plan is inspired by the guy that was behind the Red Terror. Just, and it makes me mad because he says that, and then I'm like, do you guys see what's happening here? And everyone's like, oh, you're just a xenophobe. I'm like, no, he just quoted Lenin! He's a supervillain! Mikhail Prokhorov is a supervillain, and this is a good thing for
I would love to be a supervillain.
You'd be the worst supervillain.
Oh, I tweeted this a while ago, but I... Like, 2.5 weeks is the right amount of time to be a supervillain. If I could try it for 2.5 weeks, that would be so much fun.
I'm just trying to imagine you, like, trying to form a plan. Okay, first, we will lure the... I'm tired. Screw you guys, I'm going to watch the Sean Clavin marathon.
What's your plan, boss? We're gonna get rid of all the pants in the world. What is that going to do? We're just going to do it!
Just going to do it. You know who's getting rid of all the second half pants?
Oh, I've got a segue.
You got a segue? Go for it.
Yeah. Do you think Bucks fans are saying, "Orange, you glad we're not playing Larry Sanders"? No, was that yours was probably better.
This reminds me of something that happened yesterday with my wife. So we discussed my eye problem yesterday.
Okay.
I've got pink eye in both eyes, and I'm on medication now. And when I went to the doctor, she was like, okay, so I'm going to put this pigment in your eye and look at it with a black light. And I was like, isn't it just pink eye? Like, what are you doing? You know, there's that moment of like, is there something wrong?
Right.
And she's like, no, I just need to make sure that the cornea is not damaged, because she's like, it's probably just a strand of pink eye. But there are certain infections that can cause damage to the cornea, and those are more significant. We'd have to take a little bit more aggressive action. Actually, a strand of herpes going around. And I was like, eye herpes? Are you kidding me? Eye herpes? She's like, you probably don't have that. And I was like, you're right, I probably don't have that. So I get home and I tell my wife that, and I was like, see, but if I had eye herpes, like, that'd be it. I just have to leave the whole world. I'd have to leave the planet, because there's no coming back from that. Like, your dignity is just done.
Yeah, you're done.
Like, it's just over. She's like, not to mention, I'd have to be asking you, who have you been seeing?
Oh, bravo. Bravo.
Whenever she makes a pun, she does the count laugh from Sesame Street.
Oh, if only she had put on sunglasses when she said that.
That's what I told her. I was like, you need sunglasses right now for yeah.
That's
so Bucks fans.
Yeah. So speaking of eye herpes, I don't know how to transition this. You know what's not? Oh, I got this. You know what's not catching on in Milwaukee? Larry Sanders' playing time.
There you go. Not contagious.
Jesus, this podcast is not going well.
This is the problem with Larry Drew.
Yeah.
When they hired him, this is when I was like, uh-oh. There was part of me that was like, oh, that's fine. That's not too bad. But then part of me was like, uh-oh. You hire a veteran coach that just wants to win and has a competitive background. You really need someone lazier if you're a rebuilding franchise. Really do. Because the Bucks are going to win the same amount of games whether they play the young guys or the veterans.
Well, this
is not going to change dramatically.
This is the problem with them every year, right? Is that they're just in between.
Yeah.
It's just...
So the story, for those of you who don't know, basically Larry Sanders played 15 minutes in the second half of the game so far this season. Like, he's just not playing. Larry Drew is not playing him. This gets complicated because everyone's like, but he was so great last year. Like, what are you doing? Larry Sanders is awesome. I watched two of the Bucks games, and Larry Sanders looks bad.
There was one play against the Raptors. I think I put the highlight up for us, but Rudy Gay drove baseline and dunked on Larry Sanders. But it wasn't like Larry Sanders kind of got into position, but he never jumped. He also never tried to take a charge. It was just like a very like unaware. It was almost like he just wandered into traffic, not like a Kelly Olynyk thing, but it was just like. He walked into somebody's shopping cart at a grocery store, like just completely unaware of his surroundings, and that play, I was like, all right, that's one play. There's nothing to extrapolate from that. But it was kind of like Larry Sanders is a good shot blocker, but he's not. I don't know that he's a good defender.
Here's a really crazy thing is he actually said this to me last year. He said, I'm out of position a lot.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm able to make up for it. That's what surprises guys is that I'm out of position and I'm able to recover length.
I got a question for you. And I think we kind of compared this when he got his contract. He's probably a better defender, but is he a much better defender than, say, JaVale McGee?
Yeah, he is.
He is?
I've watched enough to see that.
I'm not trying to say he's not. I think it's a decent question to the fact that if he is struggling like this, especially defensively, it makes you wonder, did we just get caught up in the cool blocks?
Especially in the pick and roll, because here's what happens. Both of them do the same thing when they're getting ready to guard the pick and roll. They get into position, hunched over, back straight.
I thought you were gonna say they Instagram a picture of Nate Robinson.
and you can tell that they're mentally on their faces, they look like locked in, like, okay, I'm ready, I'm here. And then the pick comes, and then something happens in JaVale's mind, and I'm not sure what it is, but it's just like, it's like a Lisa Frank stationary just floods into his brain.
To be fair, there are a lot of shiny objects in the arena.
Like, it just, there's butterflies and neon colors and a unicorn, and it dances in there, and he gets lost. And Sanders, on the other hand, is really trying very hard. There's a more focused effort from Larry Sanders than from JaVale McGee. And I think that's kind of the difference. Now, the biggest problem, I think, for Biggs is that it's the second and third rotations. It's not overcommitting to the second rotation. That's what ends up killing them.
Yeah.
Right? Is they're like, aha, I didn't fall for your first move. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, there's the ball. Now I will jump through the air. And the defenses are always like, I'm just going to pump fake.
It's like almost like a free safety. Like you kind of have to read the quarterback making his reads, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it's like. You can't overcommit. Like, okay, you didn't bite on the pump fake, but now you can't like just go cover the crossing route. Like, you kind of have to just observe and react when the play happens. Not like, you really can't anticipate if you're a rim protector. You kind of just have to react and hope for the best.
Yeah, so that's part of it. At the same time, I think you look at the impact that he had last year, especially with regards to their defensive rating plus minus, the differential that was on off court for their defensive efficiency with him off court, and you can probably point to he was a great defender last year. So what's going on? Is it scheme?
Yeah.
Is it confidence? Are they just, I mean, part of it is they're just playing tough. They played a couple of tough opponents. Like,
I still don't feel like he was a great defender last year. I'm not like he wasn't bad by any means. He was above average, but I feel like great's strong.
He wasn't great. He was good. The numbers were great. That's the difference.
Okay. When
you have highlights plus advanced metrics, that's about all you need in order to get people's opinion of you.
That's true. That's a good point.
Now, at the same time, it's weird because it's like, well, that's not everything. It's like, well, no, but that's a lot.
It's a fair amount.
Being able to point to direct plays and being able to look at the numbers and say both are good, that helps quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just, for me, like, I love Zaza Pachulia. This is why I hated the signing, right? Luke Ridnour is out with a back. That's the only reason Nate Walters is getting minutes. And Nate Walters looks fun and pretty good. He's not going to get any minutes when Luke Ridnour comes back. Neither is Brandon Knight when he goes back.
Yeah.
It's going to be Luke Ridnour, OJ Mayo, Carlos Delfino when he gets back.
Gary Neal,
Zaza Pachulia, Ersan Ilyasova.
Karan Butler.
Like, I looked at their minute distribution, that's exactly what it shows.
Yeah.
Is I'm playing Nate Walters because I have to.
Yep.
And everyone else is a veteran.
I think Larry Drew is a solid coach. I thought he got a bad rap in Atlanta. But you're right. He's just for this team. If they had maybe two more players, two more really good players on the team, and I'm not even saying stars, just really good players, I think he'd be the right coach for them. But they should be like Larry Sanders and John Henson should be playing 32 minutes a night together on the floor. I don't get that. And I'm not even a Giannis alphabet needs to play 30 minutes a game. I don't believe that. Like, I think he's at a point in his career being a rookie, like, you have to earn your minutes. You shouldn't just get them because your team isn't that good.
I don't know.
I really believe that.
I will say this, though. Coaches, I firmly believe this. Coaches get way too caught up on practice habits. I firmly believe this. coaches get way too caught up on practice habits.
I think they want to see a level of discipline that shows trust in a game, because you do need discipline to execute game plans correctly. Like, to put up cool stats and look fun for the fans, you don't really need that. But if you're going to get a winning culture, I mean, how many practice habits do you think are poor for San Antonio Spurs players now that DeJuan Blair's gone?
None.
You know, like, that's the thing. Like, I understand what you're saying, and it doesn't mean a guy can't play, but there is a certain level of basketball culture you want to establish. I don't know that the Bucks are trying to establish that now. Maybe it's just, hey, he's a rookie, we're not going to play him. But I do believe in young guys earning minutes. And with that said, I think that Henson and Sanders should be playing together. It's a little hypocritical what I'm saying, but that's how I feel.
I mean, my thing is this. If a guy is great in practice and not that good on the court, that to me is the same in a game. That to me is the same as being bad in practice and good on the court.
Sure.
A guy that's good in practice, good on the court.
Sure.
That's what you want to try and get to. You shouldn't give preference to the guy that practices well and plays badly in games. That makes me nuts, because I'm like, as much as I'm always about the process, this is like a difference where I'm like, you have to – the environments are different. Going against guys in practice is just different than it is in the game.
Yeah.
And you have to at some point recognize that guys respond differently in those environments. And it makes me crazy when coaches are basically – when I can tell the coaches are like, he doesn't run sprints hard, so he's not playing. And right. I'm like, that's prideful. Like, I get that you're irritated with him. I would be pissed too. But at some point, you got to put that aside and just be like, whatever.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I guess that's where you have to just, like, as an analyst, as a fan, whatever, like, you kind of just, I don't know if you're supposed to just trust the coach in that situation. I honestly don't know what the answer, like, should you just say, I trust that the coach knows what he's talking about, or most people want coaches fired anyway, so
there's only two options. And this is the problem, I think, that really gets down to, is you shouldn't trust coaches implicitly, because a lot of coaches make mistakes because this thing is hard. And
right.
It's hard to see it from the perspective that we have, because we're on the outside.
Right.
We don't have as much information as they do, but they also don't have that big picture perspective.
True. I agree with that.
But on the other hand, it's also like, well, you don't want them fired. It's just one where I'm like, just don't do these little things. Like, Larry Drew's a good coach. Just play the young guys a little bit. Just have some even minute distribution so you can make sure that you're developing. Because, like, John Henson needs minutes. He just does.
He's so good. I think that's a good point about not having the big picture perspective, because just for locally, Rick Adelman has talked about that, of how it helps having a coach in Flip Saunders as your decision maker, because you can get too wrapped up in the little things, and sometimes having someone who knows what they're talking about look at it from a more outsider perspective as an executive would. He's talked about how, like, that can be very helpful, and that, you know, he's still going to make the final decision on the court, but having that perspective and that opinion is big. And I wonder how many places actually have that kind of a relationship. Whether it ends up working for the Wolves or not, I don't know, but I do think, like, that's maybe a dynamic we don't take into account all that often.
It happens in work situations a lot too.
Sure.
Where, like, you know, if you get on your boss's bad side because you do something that really irritates them, no matter what you do, you're always that guy.
Yeah.
You're that guy that screwed up that presentation or wasn't prepared or came in hungover or whatever it was. Like, set the kitchen on fire. Like, you're that guy.
That's why I always come into work hungover. That way you never know a difference.
Can't establish a baseline if the right. baseline is always 0.08.
Exactly. I should put that on my Twitter bio.
The Sixers played kind of drunk last night.
They did. I guess that's what happens when a team takes them seriously. It seemed like... No, they've been fun, but it seemed like the Warriors were, like, serious from the start, right? Maybe the Wizards took them seriously.
I don't know what to do with the Warriors right now. If the Warriors play like this consistently, they're not just Western.
It's unlikely they're going to play the Sixers every game.
No, but I mean, it doesn't matter who they've been playing. Like, they lost to the Clippers, but they're in LA, where apparently LA has magic Clipper juice.
We can get back to the Warriors in a second. The Clippers are a ball of fun. They are an orgy of fun on the court. There's all kinds of limbs and stuff happening. Like, it's an orgy of basketball.
Thing is, like, they were fun last year. They've been fun. Fun is not their problem.
No, they're so much more fun now.
They are significantly more fun. I'll grant you that. They also gave up a 113.8 defensive rating last night.
Sure, but when you're scoring 138 points, who cares?
Just do that every game and you'll be fine.
I guarantee you, if they score 130 plus points every game, they're winning the title. Guarantee that. I'll lock that in.
42 in the first quarter, 78 in the first half.
Jesus.
JJ Redick looks like he fits nicely.
Yeah, he's all right. He can shoot.
Well, it's crazy because everyone forgot that they still have Jamal Crawford. It's like,
yeah.
No, they still have Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, they've just got so much firepower.
I want Chris Paul to play like this the whole year. I want him to do this. I don't want him to take 2 months off.
Yeah, Tom Ziller had a great point on his daily The Hook post on SB Nation, talking about how, like, Chris Paul has been unleashed because the pace of the game for them is just unreal right now. They're like fifth or something, and he's always played slow. Doc Rivers has always played slow, but for some reason they're just ramming it down the throats of their opponents, and it works. I mean, aside from that Lakers game, they've just looked so – like, they're just executioners. They're just so good at doing whatever they want, you know, offensively. Like, yeah, defense is iffy, but, you know, when the offense clicks, like, the defense literally doesn't matter.
Paul has no mercy right now.
No.
None. Just no. He has zero mercy in his heart.
He is Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men.
Only faster.
He's right. He's flipping coins.
The Los Angeles Clippers have the 30th ranked defense in the NBA right now.
What's their offense?
Number one.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, yeah, but here's my thing, though. It's like, we know what happens, though, right? We know, again,
well,
I think they're going to get there.
They're not going to be the 30th ranked defense. They're not even going to be, like, bottom 10.
No. But they got to get the top 10.
Top half. They'd be fine with top half.
To win the title, they got to get top 10.
Not really. They just got to be top half. They have to be competent.
You really think the offense is going to sustain like this?
No, I'm not. They're not going to score 130 plus points tonight, but their offense is so good, they don't have to be a great defensive team. The only thing they had, like, their problem last year was they couldn't get stops in crunch time. They actually had a pretty decent defense last year. I think it might have even been close to top 10, if not in the top 10.
It was really good, and it fell off. It was really weird. It was odd. It just fell apart.
Yeah,
I still don't know what happened.
They could not get stops at the end of close games. They just couldn't. That's what they have to figure out, and I think that's where Doc Rivers comes in, is trying to figure that out. Now, I don't know that that's going to be accomplished, but they don't have to be you don't have to be a top 10 defense. You just have to be a team that can get stops when it matters.
Part of that for me is also, they scored 137 points, and that was a 9-point game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets are really good.
They are, but this is the measure that they're up against. Like, that's the thing is, and I'm not trying to douse it. Like, it was an amazing incendiary performance. They look awesome. They look like a title contender. I'm simply trying to say, there are other teams like the Warriors. I honestly feel like have looked better. I really do, despite the loss. I really feel like the Warriors have looked better.
Oh, yeah, the Warriors have been able to take fourth quarters off in three of their four games.
Like, yeah, the Warriors are fifth in offensive efficiency and third in defensive efficiency, and it makes sense to me. Like, watching it, that plays out to me. Like, they look like they are just great in every phase of the game. The Clippers look like they are just a transcendent offensive force. But the defense still isn't – expectations are still a little loose for me.
Well, what's funny is they've played – their first three games were basically the same. They both played the Lakers. They played each other. They both played the Kings. The difference is the Warriors got the Sixers last night and the Clippers got the Rockets.
Yeah, but their numbers were still – I mean, their numbers were – like, the Warriors' numbers were still good before last night.
Oh, sure, because the Clippers crapped the bed against the Lakers and the Warriors didn't.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see how it works out. I really want to see how the season evolves. I guess I'm a little surprised that Doc's playing fast. I don't know whether he's going to want to do that the whole season. And also part of this is Paul. Paul is always about the, like, there's things that work and there's things that don't. And I'm wondering if he's going to be like, oh, no, yeah, this is great. Or he's going to be like, we have to slow down and we have to play better defense. that's going to be like the emphasis where he's going to get to.
I think the thing about him playing fast, though, is he's not even – he's not pushing the ball all that much. He's just passing ahead.
Yeah.
And that's really the key to having a deadly fast-paced offense. It's not just dribbling into the teeth of the defense as quickly as you can. It's passing ahead. And that and with those guys, like, it's just, you know.
The Warriors are murdering people with
– Oh, God,
like, yeah. It's outlet pass.
They're throwing 60-foot alley-oops.
Second, yeah. Well, it's that, and then it's like outlet pass, secondary touch pass to the open shooter who's spotted up. And there's no one around him. It's like the best shooting team on the planet with no one guarding. And it's not just the Sixers. Like anybody. Like they're just working so hard right now.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I would not kick a 7-game Western Conference Finals with these two teams out of bed. I would chain that series to the bed like it's the movie Misery.
I guess here's the question: like, would you rather see? I guess maybe like the best one would be like a 3-6 Clippers Rockets, and then like a 2-3 Warriors Clippers. Wouldn't that be the ideal?
Yeah, then I guess the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals.
They can do whatever.
Yeah, I mean the Spurs. You really want Spurs near there at the end, just because it's going to be great basketball. Not that the others wouldn't, but you know what you're getting with the Spurs.
On the other end of the spectrum, I went from, why is everyone forgetting about Memphis? This is going to be fine. They're 1-2. It's a schedule. Now I'm like, I am torching villages. I'm so upset. I'm James Dolan right now. With the not covering against Boston made me nuts. I was just livid with them last night. I very rarely get emotionally invested with the Grizzlies. I really don't. Like, I hope for them to win, but it's more of like they're the team that I just paid the most attention to.
Right.
I just, for some reason last night, was really mad at them for not – for the worst team in basketball had a lead on them after the first three quarters. And they won, and that's great. They should have covered that 11-point spread, not just because I picked them, but they just should have beaten the pants off that
team. At home, yes, absolutely.
With them on a back-to-back.
Right.
The worst team in basketball on a road back-to-back should have been beaten by 20, even in a slow-paced, ugly game in which Memphis can't shoot. Yep. Like, I don't expect them to randomly be able to shoot. I do expect them to not let things like Jared Sullinger and Jordan Crawford. Like, this should not be happening. Kelly Olynyk's bad, by the way. He's bad.
I think he'll be. I think he'll be fine this season. Yeah, I mean, in terms of like,
I'm saying it right now, he's bad. I don't think so. I think he's bad.
In terms of scoring, I think he will. He can score.
I don't know. How is he going to get around, buddy? Zach Randolph has foot speed on him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rondo coming back will help. Granted, that's probably not till January, but
if he comes back,
he'll come back. Rondo's not sitting out a year. Rondo won't sit out a year just because Derrick Rose did. He's that petty.
I guess it wouldn't be great though if Rondo didn't play except for the last game this season. Just to make the point.
Drops a triple double, then walks away.
Speaking of Rose, I looked at the SportView data last night. He's shooting 20% on drives.
Yikes! That's because he's just throwing stuff up.
He's throwing stuff at the rim. You might say
he's throwing layups.
Throwing layups.
He literally like gets to the rim and throws a layup at the rim as hard as he can.
That should be the name of your book. Your Wolves, man, had a little comeback last night on back-to-back.
That was awful.
You bailed. I understand why. It looked bad.
Yeah, it was just, I mean,
they didn't have it. That's what it looked like. It looks like they didn't
have it. Yeah, the Cavs broke out of, at least momentarily, you know, in the first half, broke out of an offensive slump that we knew wasn't going to last. And the Wolves just didn't have, like, I was charting it, and then I just got bored with it. But I feel like probably 70% of their jumpers in the first, like, I don't know, 18 minutes of the game were short. It was something along those lines. Like, they just didn't have legs. And like, the Cavs kicked their butts for most of that game. Like, so I'm not going to pretend it was just the back-to-back. But you could tell the back-to-back was not going to let them play a good game. Now, they made a comeback because there was a certain point where the Cavaliers just handed them the ball whenever they got on offense. It was just like, hey, this is yours. We don't need it anymore. We've scored enough points. And then they had a good look off a broken J.J. Barea drive to Kevin Love, you know, took a good 3-point shot. He hit just off the back iron, and it popped out. I actually thought it was I missed it. I went to go get dog food because I'm a horrible dog owner that forgot to get dog food. And so I came back, and like I didn't really know that the comeback had been that severe and that they had a chance to win the game. So I watched the possession. I was like, as he was shooting it, I was like, "Ooh, that looked good." Like that. I mean, it looked down. And so I don't know. It was an ugly game. I wasn't happy with it. But you like the fight out of them. They had fight last year in these games. I mean, they had that 22-point comeback against the Nets early on. They would get back into games and kind of fall short a lot until the injuries were just too much, and then they didn't have any fight left in them. But it's nice to see that at least, you know, they played about as poor a game as you can play in the first, I would say, three quarters. It was just really ugly. And they came back and had a chance to win. That's nice.
See, for me, this is another troubling win. This is, you know, I'm a big believer in good wins and bad wins. Yeah. Not convinced this is a good win for Cleveland. When your quarter breakdowns are 31, 24, 21, 17, it's like, hey, we're here. We're here. We're ready to fight. Hey, we're here. We're doing pretty good. Hey, we're okay. Oh no. Oh God. Oh please. Like they relied on Kevin Love missing a shot he's gonna hit probably 6 times out of 10.
Yeah, I mean he's been killing from that left wing this year.
You know, and I mean Kyrie's gonna get better, because he is, but I mean they got some
Waiters doesn't some look good. Marks. Waiters doesn't look good. You know, Bennett is a mess right now, but he's not really that important to what they're doing. Bynum's so good that he can still have an impact on the game, but he doesn't look good to me at all. And he even had comments, I think, after the game. I read it on SB Nation today about how he doesn't think his explosiveness is ever coming back, and that he kind of just have to then rely on like footwork and skill set. I think that I'm pretty sure that was he definitely said that about explosiveness. I think that's what he said about, you know, where you have to adjust your game. There was a point where like they were scoring with him pretty early on when he came into the game, and Cleveland fans were like, yeah, you know, pound it into the paint. And I was like, I don't know, this guy can't move at all. Like, go ahead and pound it in. He'll be exhausted in the third quarter. And, you know, his conditioning will get better, but how much better?
How'd Peck do against him?
Peck had an awful game. Peck, I feel like just Varejao just kind of dominated Peck early, and I don't really remember too much about him against Bynum. There wasn't a ton out there, but in the past Peck has been good against Bynum. I mean, even to the point where, you know, Bynum after a Lakers win 2 years ago, called Peck a monster. Like he's always fared pretty well against him, but Bynum, you know, Bynum's just bigger. Like he's one of the few guys that makes Peck look small.
I felt bad last night because I was like, oh, I'll do the more shots than points update for the night, and then it was like half the Wolves.
It was all Wolves in that game.
I felt so bad. I was like, I didn't mean to do this. I wasn't trying to be a dick. I
was just... Yeah, not a pretty offensive thing.
Like Corey Brewer, 13 points on 12 shots. There's your Wolf. and Kevin Martin are the only Wolves.
Yeah, Rubio looked awful. Kevin Martin is...
What? Okay, okay, now we'll wait. I'll wait on Rubio. Really concerned, man.
He looked good in the first two games. He looked bad in the next two.
I have real concerns when he is able to, when he drives and is shooting basically a leaner with no one guarding him from 2 feet and misses.
Oh yeah, that's a footwork thing, and that he struggled with his entire career so far, and it's a thing with him where. For someone who has such great timing with everything else, he doesn't seem to know when to pick up the ball. He either dribbles the ball too much when he drives and gets too far under the basket and has to throw up a wild shot, or he picks it up too early and ends up like shooting a weird running sideways jumper. And that's just something that they've got to continue to work on with him.
2 games for tonight.
We got a weird slate. I'm not sure I'm excited about this slate of games. I guess the late games are pretty decent.
Yeah, the early one. Well, no, I actually like this one. I like these Heat are 5-point favorites at Toronto.
No Bosch tonight, I believe. At least really? I think I saw that on Twitter. I was wondering why
it was so low.
Yeah, I think Bosch isn't playing. You got to lay the points with Miami, right?
Toronto, and they always cover. I feel like that's what I feel like happens.
I'll roll with Miami. Yeah, I'll roll with Miami.
By the way, you went 0 for last night.
Yeah, I did.
not a great night for you.
That's why I'm not a professional handicapper.
The Pacers are 1.5-point favorites only at Detroit.
Pacers are your only undefeated team.
Yep.
I'll go Indiana.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Pacers. I just think that Detroit's due for an offensive letdown, and the Pacers are too consistent. The Pacers can win when their offense does well or their offense does bad. Like they're just consistent on both sides of the ball.
Agreed.
Brooklyn's a 10-point favorite versus the Jazz, which seemed a bit high to me. I almost took Utah.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a game Brooklyn should win easily, right? At home against a bad team, a competitive team, but against a bad team. Like if our preseason thoughts about Brooklyn are correct, they will have this one wrapped up late in the third quarter.
Be right back. Changing my pick to the Jazz. That's a bit, man. The Nets have just been like.
I'm gonna go with the Jazz. I like them to backdoor cover this thing.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I don't like this one at all. This one's going in my stay away for the night. This one, I like this one a lot. Bobcats are 9-point dogs on the road versus the Knicks. I've got the Bobcats.
Knicks dancers are not dancing anymore. Give me the Knicks. I think that's a big turnaround.
The Bobcats, I think, are going to cover. I think it might be. I've got them winning. I've got New York winning 110-106. I think this is closer than people expect. The Bobcats sneak up on teams like this historically.
Yeah. Bobcats cannot score yet, but that'll probably correct itself. It's early.
Suns are at Pelicans. I was really shocked at this line. The Suns are at Pelicans, and the Pelicans are 9-point favorites.
Goran Dragic is out, correct?
Yeah.
Eek. Yeah, that makes me want to lay those points. Yeah, I'll go Pellies.
The Suns have just been so good against the spread, but I'm in this mode with the Pelicans where I refuse to accept them being disappointing.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna keep taking them.
You're gonna ride that train. I was gonna pick the Suns, but I'm terrified Pierre the Pelican's gonna murder me with his beak. That's still a thing.
The Los Angeles Lakers, the scrappy underdogs, are in Dallas, where Dallas is an 8.5-point favorite.
I'm back on board with this Mavericks team.
But you like the Lakers too.
I do like the Lakers, but they bench my boy.
But that's where he's best, though. He says he wants to win six man. He's following the J.R. Smith model.
I mean, that is the way to go. That is the way to go to my heart. You got J.R. Smith, you got Jamal Crawford, all these guys. Give me the Mavericks. I like this Mavericks team a lot.
Yeah, I'm riding them, but I also think the Lakers are terrible. I will probably not be at the game since I can't see. San Antonio is a 4-point favorite in Denver.
Stevie Wonder goes to games.
Rude.
He does! He has like front row seats all the time.
I don't have a driver.
Oh, that's true.
There.
Mr. Magoo never died.
My doctor's office is like 2 blocks away, which is the only way I could justify driving to the doctor yesterday. I was able to get one contact in, and so they had me do the eye test, but the nurse got it mixed up which one was which, and so the doctor was like, wait, are you telling me that she's according to this, the one that you can't see out of is the one you have the contact in? And you could tell in the back of her mind, she was like, can this guy drive it? Like, to make sure this guy doesn't drive?
Should I call the police?
I'm like, no, it's the other one. Like, I can see. It's okay. Anyway, I've got the Spurs covering. I think Denver's in a bad place.
Yeah, give me the Spurs. It's only 4. I'll take that.
Even if they said the big 3, I think Spurs make it. This is a really great game. The Rockets on a back-to-back are in Portland.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
Portland's a 1.5-point favorite.
Ooh, that's a... We thought that Rockets-Clippers line was a whore last night, and it ended up being okay. This line's kind of a tramp.
Yep.
I'll go. I actually kind of want to go Portland here. I'll go Portland.
Okay, we're both taking Portland. And the Hawks are in Sacramento, where the Kings are a 2-point favorite.
Wow. Caw-caw, baby.
Yeah, the Hawks are not this bad. No. They're just not.
No, give me the Hawks.
Like, I don't care, road trip, whatever. Like, they'll probably lose the back-to-back. Or it's not back-to-back. They'll probably lose the – I can see them losing the Denver game easier than I can see them losing the Kings game.
Yeah. Although, like, I think – like,
any sort of professional set of athletes should beat the Kings.
I think that – wow, that's mean. I think that I think this game will be – I think this game will be really good. I think it's going to be a great game tonight.
Let's see. So, we only disagree on – you got the Jazz, and I've got Brooklyn. You've got the Knicks, and I've got the Bobcats covering. And other than that, we're on board. Locked in. Season update, I'm 25-22-3. Zach's going to have further than me because we're not always going to be able to do the Friday podcast. Zach is 6-16-1 on the season.
Really? I feel like I'm better than that.
Well, you were – what happened?
I had like a 3-10 night. That didn't help.
Yeah, you were – you started off 1-2. And then you did better than that just the next night. You went to 6-10, 6-10-1.
I gotta start sending. I'm gonna start sending you my picks, just so we can keep track.
Okay, 6-12-1. I've got them all written down here. If you want, I can send them to you to review.
Yeah, we'll do that. Share that doc with me.
I will. You think I'm inflating this just to make you look bad?
I'm gonna fact check this.
It's like 50 games in. Yeah, I'm sorry. You haven't gotten the game right, and it looks like 3 months, Zach.
You actually, I know we didn't have any money on this, but you actually owe me money this time.
Exactly. Yeah, so, okay, I've got a thing going up on Baseline Awards today, talking about scores. Greg Doyle was at the game last night. He's got a thing about Dwight Howard. Who's your guest for? Do you have a guest for tomorrow yet?
Still lining that up. I'm waiting to get a confirmation back, but should be a good one.
Ooh, teaser.
Yeah. So. Although I've said that twice this year, and... for circumstances outside of our control, it has not worked out. But I think I have a backup as well.
So. I want to hear about it. Every time I put a game down to lock, it's wrong. Every lock down for the other picks has been wrong this year. I don't know what's happening. I'm really not the stupid. I swear to God. Hey everyone, if I know, don't listen to what he says. If you have tips on how to peel an orange, a YouTube thing, make a video.
No, I've tried it all.
We can help him through this. One of you has the secret.
Any other fruit I am great at. I can slice a mango. You know how hard it is to cut up a mango?
That's exceptionally difficult to slice.
Yeah, mango. I can do that. I can, well, apples you just eat. I can peel a banana. You would have no idea the things I can do to kiwis.
That's a good stopping point. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.